Praise God. Well, do you want to take a seat there? We're into the last 2 weeks now. Can't quite believe this. Of the 8-week series that we've been doing called Devotion. And so we're coming into land now with our last two kind of messages that will bring this whole series to a conclusion. And just to remind you and recap why we've been looking at devotion, because devotion in our relationship to God, as we've seen from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, which is where we've been camping ourselves for the last 6 weeks, we've seen that devotion in our relationship with God causes incredible things to happen. And we've seen how devotion takes our personal relationship with God and us as a church to the next level. And so then over the last kind of 4 weeks, we began kind of homing in on on what devotion looks like, unpacking what devotion looks like. And we saw from Acts chapter 2 there how there were four acts of devotion, four triggers, if you like, four things they devoted, they dedicated themselves to. Verses say they steadfastly did these things. They were continual things in their life, four practices that the early church devoted themselves to that triggered this incredible, exciting move of God, that they were a part of that as believers and as a church because of their level of devotion. And so in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2 through to verse 43, it says they devoted themselves, and here's to the four things, to the apostles' teaching, the teaching about Christ, you know, which we now have in the Word, in the Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which is communion, and to prayer. And now this is where we're focusing for today. Verse 43, the big word here for me is the word and. Okay, they devoted themselves to those four things. It says, and awe came upon every soul. Can you say that with me this morning? And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So they devoted themselves to the four things that we've just looked at there. And as a result of that, many things began to happen in the church and in the community. But the first thing that Luke tells us about as he writes Acts, the first thing that he tells us about that was the product, if you like, that came out of their devotion was this incredible sense of awe. Have you ever had one of those moments in life when you're just overwhelmed by something? You know, one of those kind of like, oh wow, kind of moments, you know? So I think back to, you know, when we had our first child, you know, that, because I've never known what it is to experience that. I'd never been there before. And I remember, like Beth being born. And I remember just when I just held her in my arms and thought, wow, wow, wow. Just remember this, so I kind of look and think, this is awesome. How can, you know, just the miracle and everything like that. And then the kind of just like, you know, when you're just like lost for words, your heart is just like overwhelmed in that moment. It was a, oh wow, kind of moment, an awesome moment. There's many different ones in my life. It's funny, I remember when before my brother moved away as a gift, he sent us as a family on a holiday to Euro Disney. And I remember Jake was a bit young then to appreciate it, but I remember the girls and the whole magic of, you know, Disney and everything else like that. And I remember walking through the gates and, you know, at Disney, and then turning and seeing the famous castle, you know, that kind of sits there. And I remember the girls being like, wow, oh wow. It was just like, whoo, this is awesome. It was like their heart was just kind of, you know, just looking at that kind of thing. I remember even me and Claire were like, wow, as we looked at it. Those overwhelming moments when it's just like your heart is kind of captured, you're kind of in awe of what's going on. That was like that, but so much more. In the early church, it was wow what God was doing. They were kind of in awe. It was so incredible what God was doing in their midst. As you read through those five verses, that it was just like overwhelming. It was wow. It was awesome. And it says there that this awe came upon every soul. You know, one quote that I read of what was happening here in Acts chapter 2 says this, and Beth, if you can just move it on to that next screen. It says, Jesus' presence was tangible, his power discernible, his grace palpable, and his nearness detectable. Let me tell you, when that happens, when his presence is tangible, his power is discernible, his grace is palpable, and his nearness is detectable, it is wow. It is awesome. And every soul was in awe because of the presence of God in their midst. And the big thing that I want us to kind of take away today, the big take home from today is really this, how it's devotion that attracts the presence of God. How devotion attracts God's presence. It was like Jesus was just like right there by the Holy Spirit. In their midst, he'd ascended to the Father. He'd sent the Holy Spirit. He was right there in their midst. And so as they preached God's word, as they listened to God's word, as they looked at God's word, it was like God was right there. As they shared the gospel, it was God was right there. And people are getting saved. We'll see it in a little bit. Every day, it's like they spoke and God just worked. As they gathered together as the church, as they got together in the temple, it says, and in one another's homes, God's presence was there. It talks in Acts chapter 2 about this gladness and this joy and this kind of praise element that existed. It was just like, wow, we're so excited to come together because God is going to be there. As they came around the Lord's table to take communion, they were meeting with Jesus. His presence was right there. And as they prayed, God moved. There's these miraculous signs and wonders that Acts speaks about taking place. Many signs and wonders. They prayed and God was right there. And this devotion brought his presence. It attracted his presence. And his presence caused this incredible sense of awe. Wow. Here. There were days when God felt so close, when God felt so near. And that word there for the word awe is the word phobos. And it actually means there was a fear. Some versions exchange that word for awe for fear, but you know, sometimes when we think of the word fear, we can kind of just get negative kind of ideas in our mind. I'll say more about that in a moment, but it means to fear, it means reverence, it means respect, it means to tremble, it means to be in wonder. And it says that kind of awe, that kind of whoa, God is awesome, that kind of reverence and respect, and he's powerful and pure and he's holy, and that kind of trembling and that kind of just like wonder at wow, how amazing God is. It says it came upon every soul. Every soul. Just note that if you were there this morning. Every soul. It actually means that little phrase, it means more than just every person. It does mean that, and I'll say something about that in a moment. But it actually speaks about how this awe was touching and affecting everyone. Because the word for soul, it means life. It means mind and heart. It's the seat of the feelings and desires and affection. So this devotion that was a coming upon every soul, upon every person, it wasn't like out there kind of awe. It was this awe that actually was touching their life, their mind, their heart, their feelings, their desires, their affections. The presence of God was all over them. The presence of God was affecting them. The presence of God was touching them. John Stott said this, he said, God had visited their city. He was in their midst, and they knew it. And they knew it. Saved and unsaved, inside and outside of the church, in the church and in the community. You read the commentators, they all talk about how this was inside and outside of the church. It wasn't just wow in the church. It wasn't just, oh, God is awesome. Among the believers, it was affecting the community. It was transforming the place in which they live. Friends, I believe with all my heart the presence of God changes communities. I believe the presence of God is not just for us to have a wow time inside of four walls in a building. I believe it's that we see our community begin to go, oh, wow, wow. This is who God is. This is what your God does. Signs and wonders and miracles and wow. People were in awe of God. And I heard this great kind of explanation of how awe, and interchangeable with the word fear, kind of how in Scripture it kind of creates, depending on the sense in which it's used, one of two responses. I've already shared one with you this morning, and I'll share now the other. The one of the two responses is this. It's either, oh no, or oh wow. You say that with me this morning? Oh no, oh wow. Let me just explain what I mean by that. So Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has this vision of the glory of Jesus. You know how powerful and holy and pure he is, and things are shaking, and it's just like he has this kind of vision of God in all his glory, Jesus in all his glory, and his response is what? Oh no, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God is so holy and so pure and so awesome. It's like, oh no, I shouldn't even be here. It's that kind of, oh no. You see, in Acts 2 verse 47, it says, and daily the Lord was adding to their number. People were being saved. People were giving their lives to Jesus in their community because God's presence, God's awe was in that community. And it caused this, oh no, I'm a sinner. It caused this kind of conviction of sin. It caused this kind of need of a savior. And sorry, I'm slightly distracted by the Mentos that's rolling around down on the front here. There we go. Here we go. It's all right. I wanted it to roll a bit further this way, really, but it's all good. Hallelujah. Right. Oh, no. So they're giving, people are in awe. They're giving their lives to Jesus. They feel this conviction of their sin. They feel this need of a savior. And people are encountering something through the believers, through the church, that they'd never experienced before. It was like every soul knew this is different. It was like, oh no, man, I've never known anything like this before. We need to pursue God's presence because it's the thing, the very thing that sets us apart. It's the very thing that leaves people in awe. I was sharing this morning from, you know, that well-known story of Moses when he's interacting, talking with God in Exodus 33. And he says this, he says, and he, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he, Moses, said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. God, I see it's your presence that sets us apart. It's your presence that makes us distinct. It's when people encounter your presence that they go, wow. Oh no. Oh wow. I've never known something like this before. Do you know when people encounter a Christian? When people walk into a church, they should feel something different to what they've experienced in the world. How often do you find people say that? It's just something different about you. I just feel something different when I come into this place. That should be the case. Because we should have the presence of God upon our lives. When they meet you or they come here, they should feel a love that is different from what they've experienced in the world. A peace that is different. A power that is different, a level of generosity that is different, a depth of care that is different, a sense of community that is different. Music, even that when they come in, that they it's not like they're coming into a concert, they're coming into a worship experience where they encounter Christ. It's different. You know, there's something wrong about, and I'll be careful how I say this, but if people walk into church and don't feel any different to any other rock concert, something's wrong. Something's missing because the presence of God makes things feel different when he's there. So all cause this kind of, oh no, oh wow, God, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I need to get right with you. But then there's this, oh wow. There's these signs and wonders, this miraculous stuff that's happening, many signs and wonders. There's this kind of radical level that I've mentioned several times in verse 45 of generosity. I mean, how often do you see this stuff happening? How often have you been part of something like this? And they were selling their possessions, verse 45, and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They're selling their possessions, their houses, their land, and they're just going, if there's anyone who's in need, I'm just giving the proceeds to that. I just want to help. How many people know you don't start flogging your house and your land and all your possessions unless it's God? People don't do that lightly. You know, I'm not standing here today telling you to do that. That's got to be a God thing. But such was the sense of the presence of God. It was like they were detaching from an attachment, if you like, to material stuff. And it was like people were becoming so much more important and precious than possessions. And God's love was so touching their heart that it was like, I can't see someone in need. There was a depth of love and compassion. It just kind of went through the roof. And verse 46, listen, this is a miracle, isn't it? And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Man, they wanted to go to church every day. That's a miracle. They wanted to go to church, get in the temple and meet with believers every day. Listen, right, the apostles didn't get together and say, right, okay, Peter or you or Paul, are you, who's sending the email this week to ask them to come to the meeting? You know, who's sending out the email this week to encourage them to come to the meeting? It says they were excited. They were excited about being there. They were kind of like, whoa, I just want to get there because God was in the midst. You know, when we're doing the kind of, whenever we're meeting, friends, we need to pray that God so powerfully moves among us and it becomes so exciting that people just say, I got to get there. I got to be there. Because I can stand in a pulpit, whack you with a stick, tell you to turn up, beast you like that, send you every email under the sun, but nothing will replace the fact that when God is drawing people into a place, when the presence of God is so strong that people are just like, man, so much good stuff's happening there, I got to be there. They had this sense of favor. It's all here. I've read it over several weeks. And it says with all people, wow, imagine that. Everyone you come into contact with, God's got given you favor. You know what to say. You know what to do. And God's just like opening doors all around you. Imagine that being upon your life. And it says there in verse 47 that day by day God was saving. Day by day God was adding. I mean, how awesome would that be if we moved into a place where every day we were seeing someone saved? Wow, come on. Wouldn't you be like, wow? How awesome would that be? I mean, you know, let's level up. I'd like to just get monthly, weekly. You know, they were daily seeing people saved. And inside and outside of the church, there's this church and this community in awe. But what I love about it is this. It says, and note please, awe came upon them. They didn't choose to be in awe. They didn't just wake up one day and say, do you know what? I decide to be in awe now. No one had a choice about that. See, awe is what happens when God turns up. It's not something that they tried to manufacture. It's not something that they tried to work up. They didn't say, hey, guys, bring in the smoke machines and we'll call it the glory. You know, this is scary stuff. This is stuff we hear about happening sometimes in some churches. Let's get the smoke and the effects going and we'll call it the glory. Let's have a meeting and we'll call every meeting a revival meeting. You know, it's like we're trying to kind of create something. It's like, let's try and make it look and sound like the Holy Spirit's there. Let's try and create this kind of sense of awe. Friends, God makes awe happen. Awe is when God comes. It's when people start encountering His presence. It's when they start feeling Him. Awe is not a choice. Awe is a reaction. Awe is a response. Awe is like, wow, God, you're incredible. Can't manufacture it or manipulate it. And this awe, it seems to settle upon the church in Acts chapter 2. These, oh, wow. What were they? Oh, no. And oh, wow. Come on, what were they? Oh, no. And oh, and these moments, they just continue throughout the book of Acts. Moments when people are going, oh no. Moments when people are going, oh wow. See, Acts 3 is a beggar who's lame from birth. Peter and John, they pray for him in Jesus' name. He gets up. You can read this in your own time. Acts chapter 3, verse 6 through to 10. I think I put it on the PowerPoint. I'll read it quickly. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him. Imagine that, a guy you've seen every day, lame from birth, begging at a gate, leaping and dancing and praising. They recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Oh, wow. You see, then in Acts chapter 5, you've got Ananias and Sapphira who willfully and deceitfully lied to God, dropped dead on the spot. And it says in verse 11, great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Oh, no. But this awe, the tense in which it's written, seems to imply it was an ongoing experience. It wasn't like, oh, Jesus is here now and then we hope he turns up again and they wait for the next time for Jesus to turn up. It was like he was dwelling among them. This sense of awe, the Holy Spirit, was there. This awe remained. F.F. Bruce says there was an enduring sense of awe, inspired by the consciousness that God was at work in their midst. There was an enduring sense of awe inspired by the consciousness that God was at work in their midst. Listen, visitations are great. I love those. I've been in those meetings when God just shows up and does something and just kind of you're just overwhelmed and in awe of it. And, you know, we've all had those moments. But friends, I don't believe that God's heart is just visitations. I believe he wants to dwell with us. He wants to dwell with us. You see, verse 41, to see 3,000 saved in a day. I mean, that's awesome, isn't it? Imagine that. I mean, 3,000 saved in a day. You'd be pretty like, oh, wow. You know, I'd be like, God, can we do that again tomorrow, please? That's great, but God didn't say, I want that to be it. Verse 47, his desire was that they would see people saved every day. That God's presence would dwell with them. That God didn't just want to visit, he wanted to dwell. And so if we want that, I want us to understand this morning that devotion attracts the presence of God. It's the way, it's the means that we position ourselves to encounter God's presence. I said at the beginning, for me, the big word, and that might seem funny to say this, but the big word between verse 42 and verse 43 is the word and. It's the word and. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And. Awe came upon every soul. This kind of awe was the result, the fruit, if you like, of their devotional lives. If you long for God's presence in your life, more of it. If we long for that as a church, I want us to understand we need to devote ourselves to these four things. We need to dedicate ourselves to opening and reading this book. We need to devote and dedicate ourselves to meeting with other believers. It does matter if I'm there. We need to devote ourselves and dedicate ourselves to coming around the Lord's table for communion. Devote and dedicate ourselves to spending time in prayer. You see, I understand this when I hear people say, you know, I don't feel like I've felt God's presence for some time or a long time. And I can just say that from my own experience and from most conversations that I've ever had with people who have felt in that place, that when you boil it all down, it's the devotional life that's where it's gone a bit wrong. It's when they've not had time in the Word or in prayer or in church with other believers, getting around that and them and coming around God's table. It's like a great question if I feel like I've not felt God's presence for a long time, is how's my devotional life? Am I steadfast and dedicated and consistent in these things? And it's just so important, you know, as we come into these last kind of 2 weeks of this series, that we remind ourselves that these four things were the four things that brought the presence of God. And awe came upon every soul. The Holy Spirit rode in and empowered their mission and their message. He revealed Jesus. And the more I devote myself to these four things, to the Word, to fellowship, to being together, to communion, to prayer, the more aware of Jesus' presence in my life I become, the more I feel His presence. As I open this Word, all of a sudden I'm going, oh wow, that amazes me. Oh no, God, you got to change me. As I'm in these environments, as I'm in prayer, oh wow, you're amazing. Oh no, God, you got to change me. We need the presence of God, because when we are aware of the presence of God, it changes everything. I'm coming up to my last point, but as I come to my last point, I just want you to understand that. You see, when you're in the car, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're in tough circumstances, when you're about to pray for that person, to know, oh wow, I'm not alone, is a beautiful thing. I'm not alone. God's presence, Jesus, is here. But conversely, when I'm tempted to sin, or I'm tempted to do what I shouldn't do, oh no, Jesus is here. I can't do this. I can't do this. His presence causes this awe to come upon us. And the last thing I want to say to us today is this. I believe devotion stops things from becoming boring. See, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. I mean, it's just incredible. The day of Pentecost. Peter gets up, he preaches the gospel, 3,000 are saved and baptized in a day. I mean, just imagine seeing that and being part of that. As I said earlier on, I'll be like, God, can we do this again tomorrow, please? And God's like, no, what we're going to do, we're going to start local church. He says, what we're going to do, I'm just going to teach you, we're going to establish local church, and you're just going to learn what it is, just to walk with me, just to trust me, just to live with me. And you know, some people, when they look at that, it's almost like it looks like this anti-climax. It's like we've gone from fireworks to local church, kind of daily just walking with Jesus. It's like, man, the experience of what I was part of there, can't we have that every day? But then you see, I read my Bible and I read, actually, because this was the church. This was not just any old church or local church. This was the church. This was like before the days of denominations and anything else coming, everything like that. This was the church, the fresh, the young, the new, the exciting church. And so when we want to know how to do church, this is what we go back to. We don't get caught up in all the guff of denominationalism and everything like that and all that kind of, you know, theological debate. You want to know how to do church? You want to know what it means to walk with Jesus? Go back here. Get back here. This is what it means. And so as we look at this, what I see is this. Man, I'm convinced more than ever of this, friends. God never intended local church and a daily walk with Him to become boring. Because actually what I read was anything other than boring. Coming from Pentecost, moving from that into the local church, wasn't that because God said, bad news, guys, you're on a big come down now. All right, now it's just going to kind of settle off and things are going to get boring. No, no, no. God was still in their midst, and out of this daily walk with Him and through them as a local church, as we read it, we read God's presence come, and with it in there we read miracles, generosity, and love, and care, and excitement, and joy, and praise, and favor, and salvation. I mean, does that sound boring? Sounds fresh. It sounds exciting. So God never intended the four things that we're talking about in this series to be cold or mechanical or boring. No, He wants them things to be exciting, because they're the very means by which we pursue His presence. And when we pursue Him and we pursue His presence, and when God shows up, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, man, you better hold on, because things are going to get really exciting. And so this is what it means to walk with God. And this is what it means to do the devotional life. And this is what it means to be church, that with it we see miracles, generosity and love and care and excitement and joy and praise and favor and salvation. That, my friends, is the church that Jesus died for. Some people think awe means it's going to get all real serious around here. You know, we'll come in awe. It's all going to get real serious, like awe some kind of killjoy, yet there's joy and gladness and praise. Sure, they got serious about something, their relationship with God. What it meant to walk with God, they made choices and changes and decisions, but man, they didn't regret it. And I just want to leave you with this idea, this thought, that the relationship with God and church, it felt fresh and it stayed fresh. It begun exciting and stayed exciting. It came alive and stayed alive because of their devotional life. Don't think there's really anything more for me now in this series that I can say to you other than that, that their devotional life was at the heart of it all. See, when you have no devotional life, I guarantee your thoughts towards your relationship with Jesus and your attitude towards church will be, it's boring. It's just boring. Because it's the presence of God that makes things feel alive. And His presence comes through devotion. God wanted Pentecost to produce a lively, mission-minded, miracle-filled, generous, loving, joyful, growing church. That's what He started, and devotion He gave us as the keys, as the means to maintaining it. See, the value of these four things in my life changes when I really understand they're not just something I do. They're the means by which I pursue Jesus. They're the four ways in which I can go after Him. Jesus gave me these four things as the means to knowing Him and encountering Him. So I don't just open my Bible to get words from a piece of paper in my head. I'm coming to encounter the living Christ. I don't just come to church to hang out with friends. I realize this is an opportunity to encounter Jesus. I don't just pray through a list of needs. I'm here to have a conversation with God and spend some time with Dad. I'm not just eating bread and juice. I'm here because I believe Jesus is present with me in this moment. The biggest thing that this teaches me is devotion is really simply this. It's making a big deal out of Jesus. It's making Him the focus. Let me read you a few words. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden. He prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for His own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Let's go on. In pities, angels beheld Him and came from the world of light to strengthen Him in the sorrows He bore for my soul that night. He took my sins and my sorrows and He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and He suffered and died alone. And when with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And why don't you just come back? You see, when you make Jesus the focus, the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's greatest passion is to make Jesus known. Reveal Him, glorify Him, make us aware. And He is drawn. That is why He is drawn to devotion. Because at its heart, that is what devotion is all about. Making a big deal out of and focusing on Jesus. It all flows out of devotion. Can I still see this stuff today? Yes. The more I develop my devotional life, the more I walk with Him every day in my life, the more I believe I will see God do. It all flows out of that healthy devotional life, making these things part of the rhythm of my life. Do you want more of Jesus? Do you want to experience more of God's presence and be overwhelmed by Him? Do you want your heart to be filled with awe? Do you want to see others overwhelmed with God? Do you want to see more of the miraculous in your life? Do you want to become more generous? Do you want to become more loving and compassionate? Do you want to feel more joyful? Do you want to get more excited about Jesus? Do you want to feel more excited about the church? Do you want more favor upon your life and upon the churches? Do you want to see people saved? Devotion, devotion, devotion. Pursue these four things, and in doing so, you pursue Jesus. And as you pursue Him, that brings God's presence by the Holy Spirit. You see, when God finds a people of devotion, Jesus comes by the Holy Spirit to the church and to the believers and to the community, and He amazes us. Oh, wow. And He changes us. Oh. Friends, let's go after all by simply going after Jesus. Amen.